Ludlow is located in the heart of the Tuart Forest in the Shire of Capel, midway between the cities of Bunbury and Busselton. The Tuart Forest has been reduced from over 100,000 hectares on European arrival to a now threatened 3,000 hectares. A community organisation, the Ludlow Tuart Forest Restoration Group, has been formed to address this situation, and the president is a long-time forester, Des Donnelly. G'day, Des.
Good morning, Barry.
You've got a big job on your hand. Tell us about the history and what your plans are.
Yes, Barry, look, it is a big job. This is an ancient forest. We arrived here 190 years ago and settled within and around the forest. People thought that it was, the soil there was very fertile and that they should clear it and turn it into agricultural pursuits. Unfortunately, they made the wrong decision. The Tuart Forest actually supported our initial entry into Australia. The timber that was in that forest was of very high value because of the shipping arrangements. All of our boats were made out of timber. And, of course, the Tuart was a very hard, strong timber and able to withstand the rigours of ocean. So there was a combined effort. The farmers needed to clear the land to grow their crops, and they felt that that land was the best available because of the height and quality of the trees, and they set about clearing it. But at the same time, they needed to use timber for all of their infrastructure, to build their houses, their stables, their fences, the fuel to cook their meals. It was a multiple-use forest. In those days, the world was pretty well set up with forests. People couldn't see the end of it. So that was the initial start. It really was unfortunate that we spent a lot of time clearing it. 80 years later, the government of the day realised that they should not have subdivided all of that short country and handed it over to farmers, and they set about buying it back. And the area that's there currently today is mostly previously farmed for agriculture. The Forest Department formed in 1918. That's when the first controls came in on forestry. There was no management or, you know, respect for the forest at that stage. It was pretty much open slather. And anyone that had the vigour, you know, the inclination to cut up trees would buy an axe and a cross cut and make their own money. But once the government got involved and realised the issue, the Forest Act was written, and that was passed in Parliament in 1918 at the very end of the First World War. So times had been really tough, and the only income that the state had in those days was a bit of gold mining and, of course, the agricultural industry and forestry. And they were the mainstays that we built this country on.
The original Forestry Act was written by Charles Lane Poole, operating out of the Ludlow office, so it's got a very significant historical connection there, Des.
Yeah, that's right. And one of the first things that he did once the Act was passed by Parliament was to build a school there to train foresters, because you can understand that we didn't have any foresters in those days. There were a few in England and France and Europe, but in Western Australia, we had nobody that was trained. We had royalty collectors, if you like, that would go around and collect royalty from the sawmillers, but there was no forest management knowledge much.
So, Des, what's the vision of the Ludlow Tuart Forest Restoration Group?
Yeah, Barry, we set this up 5 years ago in this, on the kitchen table of a very passionate lady that lives near the forest, and myself and a few others got together and we thought we must do something about this forest, and called a meeting. We had about 40 people turn up, and we decided we'd actually form a group and get on with it. And the first thing we did was write our objective, and we really needed to provide community support for the essential restoration, protection and ongoing maintenance of the iconic Ludlow Tuart Forest. This forest has this historic value. And of course, the Ludlow Forest Settlement for the benefit of future generations, biodiversity, tourism, education and research. So there are a number of issues in this, but to give it weight, we had to look at all the other things that affected the forest and the benefits of the forest as well. So that was our first act, really, was to decide on a strategic plan and our objective. And we then held a couple of meetings, public meetings, and the bowling club in Capel, and another one in the one of the buildings in Busselton, and gathered a lot more support and some membership. And we've now built that membership up to about 650 people. So there is a lot of interest, and that gives us confidence that we can continue to do the work that's needed.
That's typical of the region. The community gets behind this thing. I guess this could end up something like the Busselton Jetty, which is such a spectacularly successful community volunteer-driven organisation.
That's right. Yeah, we're not for profit, and we are volunteers, and we get a lot of support from DBCA and Parks and Wildlife, and a lot of support from all the local neighbours, of course, and then there's the businesses around town, and we've had support from mining companies. So there are a lot of people out there that understand the issue and are prepared to help.
And I think in the recent years there's been a growing realisation in the community of just how much knowledge Aboriginal people, obviously they managed it before we got here, but there's still a lot of knowledge in the Aboriginal people, and getting them involved is really important. And the Aboriginal people used to talk and still talk of country needs people. So we can't just lock these things up and walk away from them.
Absolutely. We respect the Aboriginal people, and we are catering for them within our overall working plan. We've set aside a 2-hectare. It's an old nursery site where we propagated pine trees years ago. It's quite fertile right on the Ludlow River, and we want to turn that into a native plant food garden on a commercial scale, and we really want the Aboriginal people to take that on and manage it and get the youth involved. So that's one of our issues. We also want to, we will be building a yarning circle, if you like, where people sit around and listen to the stories and understand Aboriginal culture. And we also would love to employ 4 or 5 Aboriginal people to do maintenance in the forest, because the forest can't look after itself. We have to do the burning, we have to do the protection, and we have to try and reinstate the native animals, birds, and all of that stuff. So it's a huge job, but that could be a very useful part of this venture.
I think you're right, and this is playing on tourist radio, and I see tourism, I like to think our tourist radio is sort of a bit akin to Aboriginal storytelling. They pass their culture and corporate knowledge down through storytelling. In our culture, the storytelling seems to have been taken over by the advertising executives of major corporations, and that hasn't necessarily served us well. So if we can tell these stories and get more Aboriginal people involved, because they know how to do this, and while they've had a hard time, I've recorded conversations with quite a few Aboriginal people, and they, they say that it's about welcoming people, educating. I guess it's educating, but get people to understand just how this all came about.
They do have a big story to tell, and we must listen. We need to make opportunity for them to tell their story and demonstrate their knowledge. By putting a group of Aboriginal boys and girls for that matter, into a management crew that do the burning, perhaps protective burning in the forest, they can look after weed control and also act as tour guides. So there's a whole lot of opportunities there, and we have to build on those things. We can't have tourism without someone looking after it and making sure everything's clean and tidy, and the stories are there to be told.
Absolutely, Des. This hasn't been open to the public because of the state of it, but with all the work you've done, it's created the opportunity for an open day. Tell us about that.
Yes, we need to sell the site to the public. We want people to come in, and we're setting it up not as a museum. It's not a museum. It's an active enterprise, and we want people to learn about the Tuart Forest, and that we want to enjoy the Tuart Forest. And the Ludlow Centre itself is ideally located. It's right on a tourist bypass road, if you like, Tuart Drive. There's a lot of infrastructure there that has historic value, like the office itself is now over 100 years old, and we've managed to refurbish that, and all with volunteer labour, I might add, and the guys that come out, and the girls, of course, that do that work, are faithful workers. Every Wednesday they turn up, and quite often on other days if there's something to be done, and the work they've done is, it can't be replaced. You couldn't afford to pay the wages to do that work.
So it's that's the Australian way, Des. The community gets on and does these things, and we just need a bit of support from government, not interference. The open day is on Sunday, the 9th of October.
Yes.
Tell us what people can expect if they turn up on that day.
On Sunday, we want people to start arriving about 9 o'clock. The official entertainment, if you like, starts about 10, but we want people to get there, you know, parked, and they can wander around the site and read some of the information. There will be a lot of entertainment. There's coffee vans and food bars and buskers, and there'll be some singing in the afternoon. And of course, we've got Sabrina Hahn there that will entertain the crowd with all of her knowledge about plants and environment. So there's a lot to do. We will be opening the office itself and the nursery. We've managed to refurbish the glass house, and we'll be opening that. And we've got a building that we managed to restore with the help of the City of Busselton, who funded the replacement of the roof and tidy up, and that building is now safe. But Sunday will be a great family day. There's things for the kids to do, and there's plenty to keep people interested. They can then go home and perhaps follow us up on our webpage, which has got a lot of information about what we're trying to do.
That's fantastic, the work you and your committee are doing, Des. People who want more information can go to your website, which is ludlowtuartforest.org.au, or like anything you hear about on Tourist Radio, you could go to touristradio.com.au/Busselton. Click on the things to do, and we'll post a link to your website there. I congratulate you and your committee on the work you're doing, and wish you all the best.
Yeah, thanks, Barry. Yeah, and it really is up to the rest of the volunteers. Have done a fantastic job, and without them, of course, nothing would happen.
I've been talking to Des Donnelly, the president of the Ludlow Tuart Forest Restoration Group, about their work and their upcoming open day on Sunday, October the 9th. Thanks, Des.
Okay, Barry, thank you.
You've been listening to Western Tourist Radio, telling the stories of people and places in Western Australia.